Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing fine, hatless Robbie.
Yes.
How are you doing?
You can see my beautiful bald head all day today streaming live on YouTube, Periscope, and on Twitch. Sorry for the glare.
I was about to say, you're going to blind some people watching it.
Are you looking at the screen right now?
It took Porth 28 seconds to come in off the top rope. That may be a new record.
Are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, honestly, is there a glare?
There's a little bit of one, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got an extremely white head.
It's not shiny.
It's not shiny.
So that's good.
Yeah. Maybe I'll wax it up in the future. We can really get a reflection going in here. It'd be great.
Is this going to be the new thing now? This new you?
This is basically me being an idiot for getting a hat. That's all it really boils down to. Slow start on the Monday morning for Robbie Stanley.
It's cool to mix it up, though,
The dog rolled over at like 3:30 and decided that she wanted to just sleep on top of me. So I've been up since 3:30.
Oh, boy.
It's fun time. We've got a loaded show for you today here on the program. We got a lot to get to with the Nashville Predators. We'll begin to do that and take your reaction here in just a couple of minutes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis joins us at 8 o'clock, Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation coming up with those two guys that join us every Monday. Tell you what, another big weekend for the Nashville Predators. They sweep the Chicago Blackhawks 3-1 on Saturday night, 3-2 last night in front of a national TV audience on the NBC Sports Network. And Joe Rexrode, don't look now, but the Nashville Predators have found their way back into a playoff spot. They are the number 4 seed currently with 37 points, 18-17-1. I don't really know how they've done it, but they've done it. And here they are, Joe, 4th in the Central Division. In a spot where, let's be honest, 2.5-3 weeks ago, nobody expected them to be. It's been pretty incredible to watch this turnaround with the Predators.
Yeah, and it's not just like they happen to be winning games. They look good.
Yeah,
I mean, they're playing well. Yeah, they get good goaltending from both guys. I mean, obviously Saros is just red hot right now, but. Then last night it's you all of a sudden you go from 2-0 to 2-2 and your best player responds, which is like what happens for good teams.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Good teams, that's how they win a lot of games, So I'm seeing on the timeline in the mentions, a lot of people say, never mind.
I know.
Now I still think you're wrong. I think Mikael Granlund should be gone this week, and that's fine. You could still keep doing this. Now you have one more spot that you don't have to worry about making a tough decision on, but at least Granlund's got to go, in my opinion. No matter what happens every game, in the interim here between now and the actual deadline.
The soft sell idea by Adam Vingan seems to be gaining a little bit more traction with Predators fans. Up until this weekend, there was still a lot of, you blow this thing up right now on Twitter. There's a lot of, after last night, soft sell. There's a lot of, hey, just leave this thing alone right now, after last night as well on Preds Twitter, which, again, I don't know that the deadline approach this year is either way to leave it alone. There's no way to me they should be a buyer, so I'm still kind of a proponent of the soft sell idea as well. But it's I tell you what, it's been fun to watch what they've been able to do as of a, and really, this weekend, I thought with the exception of the third period yesterday, really the same story. Like, I thought the Predators controlled the game from start to finish on Saturday against the Blackhawks. There was never really a time where I thought Chicago was all that dangerous on Saturday. Saros made saves when he had to. I thought they did a great job of really limiting what Chicago got. The first couple of periods last night were really the same for the Predators. They didn't give up a whole lot. They capitalized when they got some opportunities. And then, as you said, Chicago makes a push in the third period, and Roman Josi makes a play to go win it. By the way, awesome play by Ellie Tolvanen on that play as well to get him the puck.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, this team is making big plays in big moments when they weren't doing that hardly at all to begin the season.
And Preds hater right here picked him to lose both games.
You did.
I hat in hand. I don't have a hat like you, but I'm wrong, man. It's pretty amazing. It's sports. That's one thing you gotta love about them is how unpredictable they can be, and absolutely no way I would have bought that this would be the situation a couple weeks ago. No way.
No,
would not have bought it
with the injuries and everything that you factor into it as well. I mean, it's pretty amazing what we've seen. I think some of it has just been a mentality change that they've had as well. And John Hines was asked about that last night after the game. What's led to the success recently for the Predators and how they've had to approach this from the way they've played the game stylistically? Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
I think it comes to, Adam, when there are momentum shifts in the game, I think first and foremost, I think our goaltenders have helped us in those situations where, you know, they've been able to hold serve for the most part, which is a big factor when the other team is gaining momentum like that. The other one is we're better defensively. We're more committed. You know, there's not a lot of panic. I think guys understand the positioning, the structure, how you need to compete in those situations a lot better than we had in the past. And I think that combination, I think, has been a big difference. Is just, you know, I think they really believe in, you know, the work ethic and the structure and just understanding there's going to be pushes and surges in games. And when you get saves at key times, which we have had, I think that settles things down again. And then I think guys, you know, understand we just have to continue to play because they've worked to an identity. And, you know, sometimes when the other team gains momentum, you just need to get back to what you were doing. And when you believe in it, you do it.
So that was John Hines after the game last night talking about the identity the Predators have played with. And, Joe, we've talked about it a little bit with the injuries that they sustained. You've had to really commit to playing well defensively. Obviously, the goaltending, I think, still is the biggest story. And we'll see what's going on with UC Soros. Came out yesterday that he is day-to-day. So we'll see what happens with that. And kind of interesting last night, John Hines was asked about it and didn't really know if it's upper or lower. So I don't really know what to make of that. We've reached that time
of the
season.
Well, that's where we're going in hockey. Yeah. I think they just call everything a body injury.
Yeah, it's just a body injury for UC Soros. So we wish him a good recovery in his body injury on that point. But hopefully he's back in there soon because he's been playing just lights out for the Predators as of late. And then Pekka comes in last night. And again, I didn't think he was tested all that much, but made a couple of big saves in the first couple of periods. Patrick Kane had a nice chance on him in the second period. He was able to keep out of the net. And then they got two in the third, and he's able to hold down the fort later in that period as the Predators are protecting that lead. So goaltending, I still think, is the number one story, and it can cover up a lot of issues. But I don't think there's any doubt at this point with the lineup the Predators have had out there. They've had to commit to a certain style of play in order to be successful and in order to win games. Like, other than Rocco Grimaldi going out there and scoring four goals against the Red Wings, like, you're not going to blow anybody off the ice with your offensive prowess out there. They've had to be really, really good defensively. They've had to be really, really good on special teams. And to their credit, they've done that as of late. Now, I thought another guy that played extremely well over the weekend, Ryan Johansson, was really good. He was really good over the weekend. That, to me, is a very good sign moving forward. If you can get him going, and you know Arvidsson scored yesterday as
right,
well.
Finally got
that,
him going.
Those can be really big for this team moving forward if they can find a way to keep that going together.
Okay, so Matt Duchene should be back real soon. What does that mean? What does that do to the lineup? you know, how much of a bump could that be?
Well, it could be a bump. Now, if they go the route that we talked about and they trade Mikhail Granlund, I would imagine that Duchesne's just going to slide right in where Granlund is. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that, because if they keep this thing together a little bit longer, I don't know if you're breaking up that line with Granlund right now. Like, where are you putting Duchesne? Like, third line center? I guess. I don't know. They've got an interesting decision on their hands coming up.
Are you suggesting maybe they wouldn't put him anywhere?
No, I think they'd put him in. I know some people have talked about that. I think they'd put him in.
Joe, you've mentioned how you want to see Granlund traded, like, before the deadline. I think in this situation, I would almost say when Duchesne is ready to go, you find a take for Eric Halla, and you get that asset, that mid-round pick, whatever it is, and Halla comes out of the lineup and Duchesne goes in. Yeah, I don't want to sacrifice young players' ice times.
So no. You're saying don't trade Granlund?
If it's not Granlund, then Halla.
Why not both?
Well, I think you do trade both before the deadline, but Duchesne could be ready before then.
I got you. Okay. I thought you were saying Halla, not Granlund. Granlund's going to be your best expiring contract return, obviously.
It was basically saying that you could do the same thing with Halla. Right. As you're saying with Granlund.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So on the goaltending point, and this is going into yesterday, but Vingan loves natural stat trick. Are you a natural stat trick lover?
It's good. Yeah. I don't love it as much as Vingan does, but
find you somebody who loves you like Vingan loves natural stat trick. But in the 6-1 stretch, going into last night, the Preds had controlled 47.5% of expected goals, compared with 68.18% of actual goals in 5-on-5.
Yeah.
I'm not a natural stat trick, but to me that says, wow, the goaltending has been pretty remarkable.
Been pretty good. I mean, I think they're operating at 5-on-5 recently, somewhere around like a 96% save percentage. That's pretty. You're gonna win a lot of hockey games if your 5-on-5 save percentage is hovering around 96%. As a matter of fact, it is. It's the last 8 games. This is coming from Vingan. The Predators have a 95.9 save percentage at 5-on-5.
Now, to your point, this weekend, it was a lot about what was going on in front of the goaltenders, right?
It was.
Now, it hasn't always been that, but I think this weekend in particular, it was maybe more that.
Yeah. No, they did a great job in front of them. I mean, they really did. And Saros, he had to make a couple of big saves Saturday night. Not much. I mean, they didn't get hardly anything Saturday night in the offensive zone. So the defense is coming around. It's playing better. You've got Josi back in there now, and it's been interesting to watch how they've handled that, just kind of leaving Ekholm and Carrier alone and letting Josi come in with Fabro for the most part up until this point. So, you know, as you start to get more bodies back, that's going to be interesting. Like, when Mark Borowiecki is healthy, are you taking anybody out right now? I'm probably not. I don't know. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. So you figure, I mean, we talked about, like, maybe Luke Cunning coming back in, and what do you do with him? Well, he's come back in, and he's lighted it up since coming back in. So you got to feel good about that if you're John Hines, that even guys that have been out, once they're coming back in, number one, they're buying into the way that you're playing, and the results haven't changed all that much. And then you look at this week for the Predators, you've got two coming up against a Dallas team that continues to disappoint, and then Chicago again coming up on Saturday. You got a chance to keep this thing going this week at home. So a really good weekend for the Nashville Predators, and now they find themselves back in a playoff spot. What's your reaction? How surprised are you that the Predators have gotten to this point, and how does it affect the way you view the trade deadline coming up? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Taken behind the net by Kirby Dach for Chicago, and his pass intercepted by Johansson, giving it to Tolvanen. Back now for Josi to score! Tic-tac-toe! Predators retake the lead, 3-2, and a goal by the captain, Roman Josi. And that will do it. Predators win again. So the Predators sweep the series against the Chicago Blackhawks this weekend, and they have tied them for the fourth spot in the Central Division standings.
Two huge games, and obviously tonight wasn't the prettiest game, but we found a way to win, and that's the most important part. And I think with everything we've been through the whole year, to be in close to a playoff spot right now, same points with Chicago, it's huge for us, and it definitely gives us a lot of energy going forward here. All I do is
a big couple of wins for the Nashville Predators over the weekend. Roman Josi, the game winner last night. And here we are. The Predators find themselves at the moment in the fourth and final playoff spot in the Central Division. Doing a lot of winning as of late, which of course means Ryan Porth is playing that song that Joe Rexroad just loves by DJ Khaled.
You like that song?
No.
So bad.
I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't sit there and listen to it very often either.
You don't hate it? Hate it.
I've never really thought one way about it or not. I've never listened to the whole song.
Find your hate. Find your hatred. It's deep in there.
Okay.
For that song.
All they do is win.
What is the what's the proper, time period for a pro sports team to switch up its songs?
Well, I mean
some never do.
They've had the same goal song for their entire existence. It's pretty good. Tim McGraw.
So McGraw cut that back in 98?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Okay.
It's been there the whole time.
Well, then, you know what? That's tradition, and that's a homegrown, that's a local, your guy that represents where you are. So that's fine, okay? And plus, that. See, I think the goal song should annoy the heck. If it annoys everybody else, it annoys the opponent so much.
It does.
That's good.
Which is half the point, yeah.
Yes. So fine. So don't touch that. But, you can mix up some of the other stuff, right? Wouldn't be a bad idea necessarily.
I'm just 75% of sports teams in our country after they win a game play that song. Probably not an exaggeration.
Which is another reason to move away from that group and do something.
Come
on
up,
your own.
All right, we'll come up with a song they should play. We'll float that idea.
With a variety of options.
Okay, cool. You know, we had another indication last night or example of Twitter sarcasm not being obvious for people. I tweeted this out after the first period last night. I thought it was pretty clearly a joke, but I continue to get replies of people thinking that it's not. Quote, the Predators have gone from the worst team ever to the Stanley Cup favorites in 2 weeks. It really is something else. And I've got
a joke?
Yeah, man. Somebody just tweeted me, slow your roll. They've got a win streak going for them, and that's good, but there's still a long way to go before they can even entertain the idea of hoisting the cup.
Ease up, Robbie. They're only third favorite. They're not the favorite. Come on, man.
There were people legitimately upset with me last night that I called them a Stanley Cup favorite. It was a joke, folks.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The sarcasm button has been needed all along on Twitter.
It is. But it is interesting to see how people view this team now. Predators fans who I've seen on Twitter that have been totally out, some of which found their way back in this weekend, which is amazing how quickly those things turn around when a team starts winning. Noah on Twitter says, I'll be interested to see Robbie and Joe's take on this. Personally, I'm not thrilled. This team is lining up to get smoked in round one by the Lightning and pick in the middle of the first round, and now likely won't be receiving valuable future assets in exchange for veterans. This is a recipe for how to be a meaningless middle-of-the-road team for a long time, or you can rebuild around the young players who have fueled this rebuild and set yourself up for long-term success. The choice seems fairly clear to me, but this town loves some mediocrity. So, Noah, how much fan base do you still think feels like Noah?
Noah is doing some hate watching. I respect the hate watching, Noah. So you're mad, but it sounds like he's mad at the players for playing well,
I think more just mad at the situation. Yeah,
but the situation, but you don't know the situation.
I know
we don't know. Look, if they go through this, and to me, if they stand pat, that's a huge mistake. That's a huge mistake on David Poile's part. If they don't move anyone, any of these expiring contracts, but you don't know that they're not right now. The fact that the team's playing well should not make you upset. I mean, I suppose, your draft position may be worse, but what do you expect the players on the ice to do? Do you not want to see some of these young players show promise for the future and some of the stars who were paid to be stars actually play like stars?
Sure you do, but I think to Noah's point there, what does it mean if you do all this and then you get smoked in the first round and then you've not traded and collected future assets? I think there is a sizable portion of the Predators fan base that still feels that way.
No, if they don't move anyone because of this, I'm 100% with you.
But I think he's even talking about like the Ekholm Ellis discussion as well, which as this continues to go by, the less and less likely it is, I think they're trading Matisse Ekholm, at least right now. Like, how do you think it would go over in that locker room that they've battled their way back to the fourth spot and all of a sudden you're like, all right, Ekholm, see you, buddy. You're gone.
Yeah. But would they be shocked?
I think at this point they might be shocked.
Sure. Yeah.
Shocked.
I think at this point they would.
That's all we've been talking about for weeks around this league.
Well, we still have 2 weeks left before the trade deadline, and they still have Dallas, Chicago, and Detroit on the schedule before then. Like, this stretch of winning 7 of 8 may not slow down, which means they probably put themselves in even better position for the playoffs.
Maybe. But let's also keep it in perspective. They have gone nuts here to get to 500 and just on the cusp of the playoffs.
Yeah. Sure.
So, you know, let's keep it in perspective of what the last few years have been. No one in that locker room would have any justification to be shocked. Or to me, look, of course they'll be upset. They don't want to lose a teammate and a close friend. But they've got – that's pro sports. I mean, what's happened here has been a great story, but it's still a 500 team on the cusp of the playoffs that's gone in totally the wrong way over several years. Right?
I agree.
I think it's easy to say, though, that they wouldn't be shocked or upset.
I'm not saying they wouldn't be upset. I'm saying they have to be realistic about it. I mean, it's right? I mean,
I'm just telling you the vibe I get.
Is there going to be a mutiny if they trade Ekholm?
No, I'm not saying that. I mean, we're not going to go Cincinnati Bearcats over here. But how about that?
Thank you.
Yep.
Go Bearcats.
I do think as this continues to go along here, it's less likely that they trade a guy like Ekholm now. Maybe they do it over summer. I don't know.
But see, now you have leverage.
I know. Well, so, yeah. Unless somebody just really blows you away.
Which could happen.
Could. And you got to be open to that if you're David Poile. I think the feeling from some on Preds Twitter now is that's not going to happen. Which, I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in. The problem with getting caught up in the playoff race is we don't get to see them against a true quality opponent until April the 10th. So how can you say don't sell until you can see them compete with a top team? I mean, the schedule right now, you're going up against the Chicagos and the Dallases and the Detroits of the world. Now, they did just run through a road trip where they played well against Tampa Bay, and they played well against Florida, and they played well against Carolina.
Exactly.
So, I understand that's 1 week of a sample size, and that's not very much. I hear exactly what Tyler is saying there. But to his point, like if they were doing this right now against Tampa Bay and Florida and Carolina, maybe you view it a little bit differently if you're a Predators fan. I think there are Predators fans that view this as, well, yeah, they're beating up on Dallas and Chicago who can't win a game recently. Like, of course they're doing this. And Detroit, what does that mean against the Lightning or the Panthers or the Hurricanes? It's a fair question, I think.
Well, they started this stretch of 7 of 8 with wins against Tampa and Florida.
I understand that, but they've also gotten smoked by Tampa and Florida all year long.
Sure.
Yes. But if the fans
they
did win those two games.
Yes. But if the fans want to see them do this against those teams, they literally did that against those two teams early in this stretch.
One game against Tampa Bay. It doesn't mean anything. So
but if that's what they're asking for, okay. And they literally did that right. Early in the stretch.
But if you end up beating Tampa Bay one time out of 8 this year, what does that do? Nothing.
Set you up to shock them with a sweep in the first round.
Yeah.
Just like Chicago in 2017, where they couldn't beat Chicago in the regular season.
There is some of that going on, too. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris from Clarksville text in. The Preds need to lead the rookies in. They want to play by earning it. Some of the other players are already earning it and don't play as hard. Duchesne is almost a tourist level. Disappointment. I don't know why Duchesne is a disappointment conversation right now. He's not played in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Hey. But here's what's going to happen, too. Duchesne comes back. If they lose that first game,
yeah,
you know, it'll be his fault.
Well, I wondered about that when you started to get, you know, Cunning back in there, and one day when DeShane comes back in there as well. Like, if they start to go the other way, people are going to, fairly or unfairly, they're going to make that connection.
Yeah. And there's another that's not the reason, obviously, but see, if you move, like, you move Granlund, you move Holla, you make it so that, like this is what the lineup has to be,
yeah.
Then, you know, makes it easier for John Hines, really, if you move some of these guys.
It does. Daniel on Twitter says, people need to realize that they can still trade those assets at the draft, talking about Ekholm and Ellis and players,
yes,
like that.
Yes, absolutely. No, and again, we've talked about, you know, the Ellis side of that, which we both agree would be our choice if it was a thing where you're choosing between the two and the return was the same. And if it were to be Ellis, it would probably have to be after the season. So, yeah, it doesn't – look, if they don't trade Ekholm or make a huge deal here, then I don't think anyone should be upset, because you don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. But if they don't, to me, man, they have to trade Granlund. They have to trade him. Have to. Period.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Also get into a very busy weekend in the NCAA tournament as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Well, if you would, make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with the Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, and we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Preds and taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, to your point about trading Granlund, Tyler says, I don't disagree that trading Granlund is the right call, but if you have to trade him, what's the price, and how do we know that they aren't getting lowball offers from Mikhail Granlund? Now, I've said, you could probably get a second-round pick out of Granlund, but I think this recent run, it helps you if you're David Poile, because, two and a half, 3 weeks ago, it was a foregone conclusion that they were trading Granlund, and it was probably a foregone conclusion at that point. They were trading somebody else of bigger substance, whether it was Ekholm or somebody out of the blue that we didn't know. I mean, that was certainly on the table. If you're Poile, I mean, you're looking around now saying, all right, I'm in a playoff spot to these other teams. I don't have to trade anybody. You're going to have to sweeten that deal. Maybe you could get a first-round pick for Mikhail Granlund. I don't know. I mean, if it's the right team, I don't know. Maybe you could. Now, if that's the case and they have been getting quote-unquote low-ball offers, if a team really wants Mikhail Granlund, I would expect that to change relatively soon.
Yeah, we don't know what the offers are. Yeah. So I guess anything's possible. But I think he's an appealing player. He's playing well. He fits the absolute profile for a contender of the rental, you know, forward that can make a difference for you in your lineup. And when the Preds were in fire sale mode, you know, that's not as good a spot to be in as they are now. It's not an absolute, okay, well, you're just selling off all your assets. I mean, Poile has more leverage, so I don't know if they get a first or not, but even if they get a second, to me, like, you have to, like, you've got to do things to build forward.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the absolute ceiling of this team right now as it's constructed?
Probably a first round exit if it's Tampa Bay.
So the ceiling is not even a, you think, could not even.
You never say never. You never say never, especially in this sport. Like, could they go out there and beat Tampa Bay in the first round? Sure. Would I say that that's at all likely? No. I mean, Tampa Bay is an absolute machine. So I would be hard-pressed to believe that they would go out and do that. Now, maybe it's not Tampa Bay. Maybe you're playing Carolina in the first round. I don't know. But either way, I think I would be hard-pressed to believe that happened. Now, it's the NHL, We've seen crazy things happen. We've seen teams get hot and make a deep run through the playoffs. And maybe goaltending carries this team and Saros stays hot and Pekka stays hot when he's in there and they could get on a run. I don't know. Maybe they could. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they couldn't. To me, though, the ceiling, realistically, is a first-round exit to Tampa Bay or Carolina. That's just the way I feel. So is that worth it? Like, is that worth taking a shot in the playoffs? That's the question I think you've got to answer if you're a Predators fan or you're Dave Poyle.
Well, that just spells out to me, good job for these guys. Keep going. Young guys are proving some things. You know, some of these other veterans are playing better, but you don't really approach it differently if you're running the team.
Yeah, and I don't know that they will approach it any differently. It's just this has all of a sudden gotten a whole lot more interesting, and that leads us to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's question is this. The Preds have won 5 in a row. They've won 7 out of their last 8 and currently sit in a playoff spot. Are you a believer in the turnaround? Yes or no? Very early in the voting process, 58% say no, 42% say yes. We're only 12 votes in. That was put up literally like 2 minutes ago at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. So cast your vote. I'm interested to see what this looks like at the end of this poll today here on the show. I'm fascinated to see how Predators fans respond to this.
And there's some, you know, there's some wiggle room in what it means to be a believer, but you know, you can be a believer in the turnaround and you can still want them to sell some assets, right?
Yeah.
The ceiling is the roof.
That's right. The ceiling is the roof.
By the way, earlier, did you throw in that draw in of air when Hines was talking?
Yes, he breathed in your ear.
That was literally just to you and Robbie.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The magic of live radio, baby.
I had no idea. Anybody who was watching, we both looked, and I was like, wait a minute, that just happened?
What happened? Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, when the Blues won a couple of years ago, they were the worst team in the league for the first half of the season. Maybe there is some hope.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that example people point to.
Well, and the people are pointing to 17 a lot.
Yeah.
They're pointing to Chicago.
This team is different than 17.
Stuff. Yes.
This team is different than the St. Louis Blues team that year. I'm not saying they can't make a run. I'm just saying that they're different.
You know what's interesting is
the reason the Blues sucked for the first half of the year that year is because they couldn't stop a puck. And then Jordan Bennington came in, and all of a sudden they could stop a puck.
Plus, their coach was incompetent.
Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly where I'm going with the Preds. You know, the thing about 17-2 is obviously Pecorine passed his prime, maybe, I guess. Well, I mean, gosh, he won the Vezina the next year. But still a goaltender who certainly you knew was capable of something like that, right?
Yeah.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
So my question, is there any different feeling on Saros right now from this hot streak? He's had hot streaks before.
He's had some hot streaks before. This is right up there with the top. I mean, he's playing like this.
Is he putting it in everybody's face? Because, I mean, we've kind of written him off. I mean, I've kind of written him off. You've kind of written him off. He's a starting player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a starting quality goalie, but he's probably the bridge goalie for this franchise, we think.
Yeah.
Because that's the question. If you want to talk about, okay, think back to 2017, what was the story? It was Pecorine, and he was just astoundingly good.
Yeah.
Especially in the first three series. So does he have that in him still, / can Saros come close to that in a postseason?
That's a great question. I don't know. And if he can, I mean, that's the ingredient in the playoffs that can steal you a series or make you go on a deep run, is your goaltender just stealing it. And, you know, if the matchup would be Carolina or Tampa Bay, based on the way those two teams play, I mean, that's what you'd have to have. You would have to have a goaltender playing at the level they're playing at right now and sustaining that.
This is the best that Saros has played since a year ago, before the pause, when he shut out Dallas back-to-back right before the pause.
Yep.
I mean, he'll go through stretches, but he's got to do this longer for me to believe that he can steal a playoff series.
Well, I agree. And he's had one opportunity in the playoffs, and he was okay.
Average. Yeah.
He was okay.
He was average.
But there was like a goal in every game that basically you're like, yep, that's the difference between advancing or not.
Exactly.
Like, that one can't get in.
And to that point, Cody on Twitter says, they're skating, moving the puck, and cycling well in the offensive end and setting up consistent quality scoring chances. However, defensively, there's still plenty of mistakes that hot goaltending is hiding. I do think that's been the case for some of this run. I think this weekend, like I said, they played pretty well defensively. Goaltending didn't have to do a ton this weekend. But I do think, you know, you've just got to naturally expect that your goaltending at some point is going to come back down to earth a little bit. Like I said, right now they're 5-on-5. Save percentage is at 96% over the last five games or last eight games. That's pretty ridiculous. So it's not going to stay to that level for the rest of this run here. The question is, when it does come down, can you still continue to find ways to collect points and to win games? If you can, then I think you feel even better about this team because hopefully if you get into the playoffs, your goaltending can get back up to that level for a series or two. And then maybe you are cooking with gas at that point. But I think I would not expect the goaltending to remain this good for too much longer. Like, this is a ridiculous level of goaltending that they've gotten over the last eight games.
Right.
It's just not sustainable.
And if it does, then maybe. I mean, is it possible at this point in a goaltender's career, is it possible? And we're talking about this is really Saros's fifth season of being at least a pretty regular contributing backup goalie slash starter to take it up a notch permanently.
I mean, he's only 25.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. I feel like we've seen stretches like this from Saros before. And I don't expect him to play like this all the time. Like I said, this is a different level of goaltending. What you can't have are stretches like this and then stretches that go too far the other way where your save percentage is hovering around like .848 over an eight-game stretch. Like, your floor needs to be somewhere in the middle as to where it's been. That's when I think you can be a really good starting goaltender in this league. And right now, I think there has been too much variation as to what Saros has been. He's either been really, really good or not very good at all. There needs to be some sort of middle ground, I think.
So he needs to raise the floor.
Needs to raise the floor.
Not necessarily the ceiling or the roof.
Yes, just raise the floor. Raise
the floor. The ceiling is the roof.
That's right. Thank you, MJ. At SilverJojo08 on Twitter says, points are points. I don't think they're a good team, and Dallas has a lot of games in hand, but it's not impossible that they sneak in. Not terribly confident in them doing anything if they make it in the playoffs, though. So I think that could be a popular sentiment among Predators fans. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into another wild weekend of the NCAA tournament. Some crazy finishes, some overtime action yesterday as well, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, another great weekend of basketball in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas with a dramatic win over Oral Roberts. A great game yesterday between UCLA and Alabama. Gonzaga rolling as they have been all season long. The action continues to pour in. And I think maybe, at least in my opinion, maybe the most surprising result of the weekend, Oregon State continues to just chug right along, a 65-58 win over Loyola Chicago. So you feel great about Loyola Chicago. They take down Illinois, and then all of a sudden Oregon State, the Pac-12, they continue to just march on.
Loyola, the rare, maybe the first time ever in this tournament, right? And unless you go back to the early 60s, they were like the favorite. Everybody's talking about them. Yeah. We're talking about them. They're going to go win this thing. They didn't look too comfortable in that role.
They did not.
Did you respond to Jared, by the way?
No.
You just ignored him?
No. Yes.
Is that what you do?
Typically on Twitter. On the weekends, yes. So, I ignore a lot of people.
Like, Jared and I got in this big text brawl over this because, you know, Jared's like.
But this is what you do. You can't get away.
Well, I wasn't trying to start a text fight. He tweets at me and then texts me.
Okay.
He has actually challenged me, by the way, to a takeoff for a year.
Okay. Regarding what? Just everything?
So I'm gonna find this. He has challenged me, he said, if we spent 1 year making takes and keeping score, I'd beat you by at least 50%.
Wow.
Like if you're 40% right, I'd be 80%. This is how delusional he is.
That's impressive.
So I said, no, it'd be higher than that because you think all your takes are right. Like he tweeted us that this is clearly like Wayne. This proves that Wayne Tinkle's a better coach than Rick Barnes. One run in the tournament for Wayne Tinkle.
Yeah.
Proves he's a better coach than Rick. So I don't.
Wayne Tinkle's I don't know where a great to go coach, from here. Man.
Yes. I don't know where to go from here. But regardless, good job, Wayne Tinkle.
Yes.
And they are one of the – is that the surprise? What's the surprise left? I mean, Oral Roberts
it was great
really
game.
Almost beat Arkansas. That was one of the best. I mean, Asmus, who I finally can say his name right, he got a good look, man. He got a good look from three, and it was just not there or else they advance. I think you're probably right. I wasn't surprised that Houston, beat Syracuse. I wasn't surprised. Baylor really, I thought, looked like a championship team in the second half against Nova.
Michigan rolled against Florida State.
Michigan rolled against Florida State, which, by the way, this is the first tournament with no ACC in the Elite Eight since 2014. Also, I think it's the second time ever that there's been three Pac-12 teams in the Elite Eight. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Seven of the final eight teams are west of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
as
that,
Chris Felica put out last night.
That's a great stat. And when, I mean, really, like, I need the context on that one, when the last time that happened. But, man, the game that, I mean, UCLA-Alabama yesterday was, I mean, that was the only good game, right? Michigan rolled, Gonzaga rolled, USC kicked Oregon's butt.
Yeah.
But UCLA-Alabama, and that's one of the stories, too, is UCLA, play-in team. And they're here, and Bama hits that three.
You kind of called this, didn't you, Porth? With UCLA?
Well, I called them
because
beating BYU.
Because of your affinity for Mick Cronin?
Yeah, and then Mick Cronin last night after the game is quoted as saying, I've been on the other side of this, and it's been excruciating. I'm like, yep, it has been excruciating.
Yes, it has, friend.
When you were at Cincinnati, you were on the other side of this way too often. Yes, it was excruciating. Thank you, Mick Cronin.
Do you
a little bit of hostility there from Porth?
So yeah, never took the Bearcats to the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, UCLA fans right now may be, speaking of Rick Barnes, maybe pretty happy the way that turned out. Not getting Rick Barnes, getting Mick Cronin. Do you have like Mick Cronin regret now? Like do you miss him? Do you feel did you not appreciate him enough as the head coach of Cincinnati?
I liked Mick Cronin when he was the coach at Cincinnati. This was no Dusty Baker situation where I hated Dusty Baker's guts in the last year that he was the Reds manager. I appreciated Mick Cronin. I hated seeing him leave, especially now that there's a mutiny towards their new coach after 2 years.
Is he going to survive?
It's like a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I think he is, but I mean, if they miss the tournament again next year, then...
How can you survive with all your players leaving? Would they have four or five players in the portal?
And not just leaving, but also like...
Turning against him.
Yeah, turning on him. That's not a good sign, man.
No.
But there have been players that have come out and defended him.
Okay.
So.
Just checking in on you. Mick Cronin down in the Elite Eight with UCLA.
Look, I'm
Gotta give Bill Walton credit.
Dude.
Bill Walton, some foresight on the Pac-12. The Conference of Champions.
Conference of Champions.
Yes.
That's a bad Bill Walton. But, man, they absolutely – I tweeted this, and I believe it. They should add him to the Final Four broadcast. Let him have some of his favorite types of brownies before the broadcast.
Yes.
Let him wind him up and let him go. I mean, he's got to be just in his –
Do you think he even knows what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm just checking.
He has moments of clarity. I love Bill Walton. Like, if you ever have a chance to listen. I remember when Bill Walton did NBA broadcasts in the 90s, and I really, really hated him.
Yeah.
And he hadn't really – because he hadn't really found the goofy side yet. He was just – terrible pass. it was an awful play, But now he's found this hilarious, I guess like himself on the air, and I never miss a Bill Walton broadcast if it's on. Pac-12 After Dark. But I didn't realize they were that good at basketball. Apparently they are.
He did.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Bama hits that three yesterday, And that's a tough one for Bama fans. And I know, poor Bama
fans.
Yeah,
I feel real bad for them.
Did you see them crying in the stands?
Yes. Like, give it a couple of months. You'll be fine.
But for the Alabama basketball fan, I have a friend. I mean, our buddy Munson is a Bama basketball guy.
Yep.
I have a good friend who is a like he's just wanted them to be good at basketball forever. And man, this
tired
team
of winning those football was, national championships.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, if you think of it in those terms, no sympathy. But I love that team. I really wanted to see Bama Michigan. I think that could have been a special game. And they hit the three at the buzzer, and it's like, oh, it's going to be the reverse of UCLA-Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
UCLA finds a way to get to overtime against Michigan State. A lot of times the team that gets to overtime, shockingly,
yeah,
they have the juice to win in overtime. But UCLA just came right out and said, okay. And meanwhile, Alabama, one of the greatest shooting teams in the country.
Might need some free throw practice.
11 for 25. Herb Jones missing both of those at the end. Ooh, brutal, man. But
I will say the possession before that, though, I think it was a pretty clear charge. UCLA got away with it.
I mean, if you're going to call all the charges you call as a college basketball official, that was textbook. He was there for
like a second and a half.
I mean, you have to, and it's just, and there's a, we talk about officiating.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with, like, maybe don't call the ticky-tack foul late to decide the game. Maybe let a little bit more contact go. But you have to call obvious calls still.
Yeah.
You're not deciding the game. They're deciding the game.
By the way, shout out to Tiger Campbell on UCLA. He went to CPA.
Yeah.
Good call.
Congrats. Yeah.
And Tiger Campbell is the one with the just huge,
brilliant
head of dreadlocks.
His hair weighs more than he does.
Yes.
Because he's a small guy. By the way, Memphis won the NIT yesterday.
Yes.
So does that.
Are Memphis fans, are they happy about that?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, you want to play. Hey, if you're going to get in that tournament, you want to win. You want to play. You want to help guys get better, right? But then, like, next year, is it going to be like, NIT champion, Penny Hart? Like, no one wants, like, don't mention it.
Yeah.
You know? Don't mention we were in the NIT.
So let me ask you this. Which Elite Eight matchup intrigues you the most? Is it Gonzaga, USC, Baylor, Arkansas, Oregon State, Houston, or Michigan and UCLA?
Baylor,
that's four pretty good ones.
It is, and the two that I'm most excited about are the ones that are, God.
Yeah, 9:30 tips.
Do you guys like how this is, I mean, the setup this year?
Not really.
I like the Sweet 16 games on their own versus two at once.
Yeah.
But this is garbage. I mean, we're talking about 9 o'clock Arkansas-Baylor and then tonight and then Michigan-UCLA tomorrow. Those games are, I mean, I'll tell you what. I'm pretty excited about Gonzaga USC. USC is like they've got dudes.
Yeah.
And they've got maybe the number 2 pick in Mobley, Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
And
they've got swagger right now.
They do. They do. So, I feel like we might get a really good one there. Meanwhile, Wayne Tinkle
just keep rolling
keep
along.
On rolling.
Could be a Final Four for Wayne Tinkle
train. Get on the Tinkle train.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, we need a boxing match between Rex Road and Stillman for the best show.
Should we do?
There's a lot of pressure on you, though, if these things happen.
What do you mean?
You're going to be expected to handle your business if this is a boxing match between you and Stillman. What if he upsets you?
Like if we actually had a boxing match?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, my reach is pretty good. I mean, I don't have much going for me, but like I can just sort of, you know, the reach. Reach is big. I would never want to get into a boxing match with anyone.
I don't know what the time limit would be, like in terms of how long the match would last, but I would take the under just based on you both would be gassed 15 seconds in.
Well, exactly. I've never boxed, but I've been told that like a round of boxing is like playing 24 straight hours of basketball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no thanks.
It's a lot.
But should I – see, I would take him on in this takeoff, but there's got to be a –
reward.
Well, there's got to be an independent arbiter because, I mean, according to Jared, like every take that he has eventually turns. Like I told him in our text battle, I was like, it's like your clowny take. I give you credit. But also your point was that they signed Vic Beasley. So why would they need to sign anyone else? So really, was it a good take? Really?
There probably would need to be some sort of independent arbiter in this. CD and
we
our
might
text
need a
line.
Whole panel, like a board.
Maybe so. CD on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, He's got $1,000 on Jared in the boxing match. That is disrespect.
The boxing match?
Disrespect.
Who said this?
CD.
I'm going to kick your butt too, CD.
When we come back, we'll get into another thing that grinds Joe Rex Road's gears that apparently NFL players agree with wholeheartedly. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.